It is time now for our Community Connection Part 2, a little thing that we call City Matters. And joining us today, we have Mike Bailey and crew with Micah Seemers and Mr. No Comment.
Sorry about that. I couldn't.
That's good.
He's not here very much,
But every time you come in, you always got great news. Yeah. Last time you took everybody by surprise when you told us that we had a little bit more money coming in than we thought. Yeah. So I've got to change your name. I'm going to change your nickname to Good News now.
That's good.
I
still like No Comment.
If I were in his position being asked a question by a guy like me, I would have said right. No comment.
You
too.
Panicked him. He went full on no comment.
I started panicking shortly after. I said, oh, what'd I get into? Mr. Bailey, what is going on? Save me here, brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a beautiful fall day.
It is.
Feel a little bit like fall, actually. And of course, during the fall time, we have Halloween coming up. And I know that there have been a lot of questions that we have received about whether or not we have any restrictions or guidelines for Halloween. And the city of Bartlesville has never, this was actually one of the things that surprised me the most when I started at the city in the city clerk's office, is we would get calls every year and people would ask us what day was Halloween. And apparently it's common in some towns for the city to actually determine a day in which Halloween is going to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, we've never done that. So for anybody who's wondering, Halloween is still
Halloween.
On the 31st or whatever day you choose to celebrate it on. I know there's a lot of activities and things going on. So, but no official determination by the city of Bartlesville that it'll be held on any other day. So, you feel free to celebrate Halloween whenever you would like. Now, the library, however, they actually do have some Halloween-type celebrations. One of them that I think they've done this several years and it's been pretty popular. And this is the not-so-spooky story time. They're going to be doing this outside this year at the Tower Center. This will be on October 23rd from 6 to 7 for anybody who's interested. It's for the kids, obviously. They have stories. They'll do a scavenger hunt and, of course, candy. It's Halloween. It's candy.
Candy.
Gotta have candy.
Gotta.
So the kids, they're welcome to wear their costume or their pajamas, whatever they'd like to wear. And they will ensure that social distancing takes place, so they better be comfortable bringing their kids and hanging out during this. So we'll be, the Tower Center being completed when it was fantastic. With so many of these events being moved outside, having that space has really been it was very fortuitous. So we're grateful that it's there and they're able to continue to host events like this. But again, October 23rd, 6 to 7th, free to attend. So 6 to 7 p.m. Free to attend. And last week, Tom, we had the city council meeting, mm-hmm. and one of the items that they did that night was that they recognized code enforcement officers. So this was Code Enforcement Officer Appreciation Week.
Well, they need to be appreciated. That's a job. That is a job.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I know I had Lisa in here a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about what that process looks like, but just wanted to take a moment and thank those guys again and tell them that we do, truly do appreciate them, and the community appreciates what they do. They're sort of the front lines for your health, safety, and welfare out there and help to maintain clean and safe neighborhoods. So. Mm-hmm. Really do appreciate those guys, and I was glad that they got an opportunity to celebrate last week. They were there and got presented a certificate by the mayor, and so it was a pretty cool event. One other thing that I know is going on that City Ride would probably like to talk about. Now, City Ride, just to be clear, I know there was a story that was printed that had some different information, but City Ride is a contractor of the City of Bartlesville. They're not the City of Bartlesville. We don't operate a transportation system. We actually contract with them, and we provide a subsidy so that their rates are more affordable and they're able to offer more services. But they were getting ready to launch a program called a PIC program, and it was originally supposed to start November 1st, I believe. They're having a hard time getting drivers. So that program will actually be delayed until December 3rd. And I think I have some information here for anybody who is interested in being a driver. It is actually Laura Korf is the executive director of the Cimarron Transit program for us. And I'm trying to find exactly. So call 918-762-3041, extension 182. If you're interested in being a driver for City Ride, they are seeking some more qualified drivers for that. So that's been the holdup for them. But again, that's there was a story that was written that made it sound like you should contact the city. And people have, and that's we'll refer you on to City Ride. So contact City Ride instead. It's not the city of Bartlesville.
They'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, they definitely would love to hear from you. But it's evenings and weekends is what they're looking to expand their services to. Right now, they're pretty limited to basically about 8 to 5 or a little bit beyond that. But this would allow a little bit of an expansion. So it is an exciting program, but they got to get the drivers first. So to also at the city council meeting, there were several items on there, and Mike has got one of them he's going to talk about as well. But one of the major items of the evening was the city's receipt of some CARES Act funding. And there seems to be a little bit of confusion. We've tried to do our best to dispel any confusion as we went through this, but as usual, it's easier said than done. The CARES Act was a federal stimulus program, and it provided aid in a lot of different ways. And it was very broad. It provided for the Paycheck Protection Program. It provided for an expansion of unemployment. It provided for the stimulus checks that the individuals received. All of those things. Also wrapped up in there was assistance to local governments, both state and local governments. So that assistance to the state and local governments is outside of what was provided in those other programs. So the cities were actually able to be reimbursed for expenditures of police and fire. So basically our public safety. So that was what we were reimbursed for, was the expenditures that had already been incurred. So there was no restriction on how that funding had to be spent, because you weren't getting the money to do something, you were getting the money for something you'd already done. And that was the distinction, and I will tell you, it took us quite a while to ensure that was the case. We went through a lot of conference calls with the governor's office and things of that nature, but we were finally comfortable with it. So that allowed the city council then to determine what priorities they had for that funding. Now, it was pretty big funding. There was $2.8 million, and the council's approach was to use this to fund budget priorities that couldn't be met due to the COVID economic crisis. So it was, I think, as we were planning, our budget was probably the height of the lockdown and the greatest time of uncertainty. So we really weren't sure how things were going to turn out. Still not, to be clear. And Jason will expound on that here in just a minute. He's going to talk a little bit about sales tax. So we had some assumptions. We also did some things with our sanitation rates, that we did not increase sanitation rates, even though it was really time for a rate increase. We didn't want to do that in the midst of economic crisis, and especially during a time where we were working with our citizens. You know, a lot of them were being locked down, not locked down, but a lot of them were being advised to stay in their homes and things of that nature. So, yeah, big difference in words. Words matter, Tom. But
that's what my lawyer tells me.
Words matter. So, but anyway, as the council worked through this, the first thing that they wanted to do was to ensure continuity of business operations in the future, because we just don't know how long this is going to go on. We early on, things seemed to be better than we expected, and now again, we're starting to see some of that decline in economic activity locally. So the council wanted to ensure that. So actually, the majority of the money was set aside for use in future years, because the federal government informed us essentially that this was our one bite at the apple. Here's your funding, this is what you're going to get, and really no matter, even if we do another CARES Act, there won't be anything else for cities. So we're operating under that assumption. So the council set $1.7 million of the $2.8 million aside for use in future years. And then the three major priorities that they met after that was that they provided some modest pay increases to city employees. And then as we talked about the sanitation rates, they use this to supplement what the citizens are paying to help hold off the need for that rate increase. It still exists. The need for the rate increase still exists, but it helped us to get through this year. And then the last thing that we did was the Bartlesville Community Center Trust Authority. There was $100,000 that was transferred to them to help them with their operations for the next couple of years. So that was a pretty big event. It is pretty rare that the federal government provides that kind of assistance to local governments. So we certainly were grateful. It allowed us to ensure that our operations can continue smoothly, and that we're still a good place to work, and that we don't start to lose employees because of that uncertainty. So we were certainly very thankful for it. And with that, I'm going to kick this over to Jason because he actually does have some comments today.
a few comments.
He knows where to put the decimal point. I tell you that.
That's right. So he's got
a hard job you got there.
So Jason is many things, but today he is going to be acting primarily as finance director. So. Mm-hmm. Jason, let's give everybody an idea of how sales tax is done over the for the first part of this year.
So yeah, we're 4 months in, and as he alluded to earlier, it's been pretty much good news up until the last couple months. You know, we've seen a little bit of a downward trend. With that being said, we budgeted for 4 months down, and now we're just 2 months down. So all in all, we're still sitting pretty good. This month we were 3.89%, almost 4% down over the current collection period from last year. But we are still, you know, up 1.2% above where we budgeted for this month. So the downside is we're starting a trend of declining sales tax revenue year over year. But the good news is we had budgeted for that and anticipated it. So currently we're at $550,000 over budgetary expectations at this point.
What we thought we would have received. Yeah. And it really has been an interesting year. It's just like you hinted at, Tom. Things started out, they really started out great. And we were, not only were we ahead of budget, but we were actually ahead of last year. Our concern all along, though, was is that there was a lot of federal dollars that were out there that were helping to make that happen. As those have kind of played out of the system, now we're starting to see the decline, and we just don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, and to be fair, kind of looking back historically over the last couple fiscal years, we've had some, I'd say, some pretty high months we're comparing back to historically. So it's hard to say, was this just more of a correction back to where these months traditionally sit, or are we, you know, really seeing a true decline? It's the numbers, as Mike has seen on the reporting side we get from the state, are so large, it's hard to isolate certain vendors or certain areas where these things are going up and going down. So,
well, and you won't even have access to that kind of detail from the state for a couple of weeks.
It'll take another week to 2 weeks to even get the data behind these numbers from the state. So I guess
the story is that there's good news. We're just not sure how good that news is, and we're only time will tell. And we came into this year knowing that it would be incredibly uncertain, and I think that's playing out.
I expect we're probably going to see some months that are up, and we don't expect them to be up, and we're going to see some months that are going to be down, you know, which we expected them to be down the full fiscal year. So
the good news is we're prepared for it.
Yeah,
with the council put together, the council adopted a budget that was very, very conservative in nature, so we certainly can weather this through this year, and thanks to the CARES Act money, I'm confident that we can weather this for another year or two, if that's what's necessary. So
yeah, we're set up pretty well to weather this storm.
We don't expect that there will be any break in the continuity of services provided by the local government.
No.
So much of what we do is even more critical in times of crisis. I know that's where we really do differ from a lot of businesses. Businesses experience a downturn in their activity as well as the economic activity. We'll see exactly the opposite during times of crisis. We have greater activity that we have to deal with. There's more calls that the police are expected to go out on, the fire department during these health crises. So it's certainly interesting times at the city of Bartlesville, but we're grateful that things are going as well as they are and hope they continue. All right. Anything else, Jason?
No, sir. That's it.
All right. See, I actually put him in the middle because Micah tends to squeeze him out at the end. I try not to let that happen.
Mixed blessing, isn't it?
Yeah, he comes in half the time thinking he's not even going to get a chance to talk.
That's my goal.
It's not happening. In fact, you got 15 minutes. I gave you half the program. Look at that, Micah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's because we didn't bring Lisa. She squeezes everybody out.
Lisa and Terry, they're big talkers.
Well, so. Micah, you certainly have plenty to talk about. We've got a lot of projects going on. I know that the city council, you made a presentation to them on Monday about the preventative maintenance, the streets that were selected, and sort of a new program that we're doing, as well as there was an approval of a project or the design contract for the Sooner Pool project that has certainly been a long-awaited project. So I'll kick it over to you.
Okay.
Yeah, like you'd mentioned, so every year we've got money budgeted for what we call preventative and maintenance street projects. This is part of the sales tax fund.
Half cent sales tax.
And really, this is a 7-year extension. We're on year 7 of that. And back in 2013, we budgeted basically $750,000 a year to tackle these types of streets. And these are streets that are not the worst streets by any means. They're really in decent condition, but you want to put a little bit of money towards them now to keep them from getting in poor condition, because it gets more costly the worse the deterioration is. So, again, we target $750,000 a year, but really the total number is is the key there. So over 7 years, what that adds up to. And so we've done more some years, done less other years. This year we had basically $500,000 budgeted, and that takes us to that final tally there. So we had really 3 streets we're going to do that were more typical to what we've been doing with this program. And it's basically mill and overlays, some concrete panel replacement projects. Typically on the panel projects, we try to do streets that aren't a full rebuild by any means. Right. We try to do some that you're looking at that maybe 15 to 20% of the panels need to be replaced. On the asphalt streets, they're not in terrible condition that a thin overlay will get them through for some time. So we selected, actually through the street and traffic committee, they're the ones that select the streets and present to council. And so they selected Gwynn for $170,000. This is from Rolling Meadows to May. Again, these are gonna all be asphalt projects. And we've got Huntington over in Colonial Estates. Again, another mill and overlay. This is from Braddock, and it's basically a dead-end street, so we're going to the termination there. There'll be some trench drain on this one as well. They've got some perch water coming off the hills there that's causing some issues with the subgrade. And then we've got $150,000 for Kristen as well, and this is over off of Stonewall, from Stonewall to Hill. And again, so those are our more standard-type projects we do. The other thing we're looking at is, again, when you say preventative maintenance, that can mean any number of things, but you're trying to not put a lot of money towards the streets, try to make your money stretch further. And you can do that with crack sealing, surface sealing, again, smaller projects as far as the concrete panel side of things. But there's also some products that really they seal the asphalt, they preserve the asphalt, if you will. And so we're looking at a product called Reclamite. We're gonna use some of these funds to test this out. We've been talking with the vendor. Again, multiple different contractors can apply this product to the streets. But essentially what it is it, they go over it, they spray this the sealer on the streets and on the asphalt, and it actually goes on pink, but it dries clear.
Yep.
It's pink so that they can see it, obviously. Dries clear, so the benefit of this versus going with more of an asphalt type product is you don't have to re-stripe streets that are already striped. It actually does help preserve the striping as well, add some longevity there. And so we're looking at doing a Tuxedo. So we recently completed Tuxedo about a year ago now,
By the time we get to this,
yep, just about
a 2-year-old street.
Right. So looking at doing Tuxedo from the Caney River to Madison Boulevard, and that's just about 2 miles worth of streets for $80,000. You can see the difference there. 2 miles of street, 4 lanes.
That was about $1 million project, wasn't it?
Yeah, just about $1 million project. And so we're...
And so some people will look at that and they'll see that we're treating a street that's new.
Correct.
But this is, and you laugh when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is a little bit like Thompson's water sealer or something of that nature.
Right.
But, when you build your deck, you don't immediately put that down. You actually allow it to weather for a little bit. And so this seems to be similar to that in that it's going to extend the life of that street, which once we get to that point to where we're extending the life of all of our streets, then our streets, the condition of all of them will be raised, which is the goal of preventative maintenance.
That's the goal.
It's not just to repair what's broken. It's to help to increase the quality of all the streets so that they're all better. We'll have more money to do those residential streets and things of that nature once we get to that point.
And that's the goal. This, we'll test this out, but the idea here is that really this is supposed to extend the life of these streets from 7 to 10 years.
Yeah.
They've got some examples and some streets where they've gone longer than that, 15, 20 years. And, you see pictures of it. What we'll do is when we apply this product, we'll leave some areas out to see really how this
is our test.
How this wears. This is a test.
Yep.
This is a test, and would like to do some more next year again, staggered as well. But you look at the pictures of these streets, and there's a substantial difference in the condition of the street, after 7, 10, 12, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
So But the idea is to try to do this every 7 to 10 years again, reapply the product. But yeah, basically it penetrates the asphalt. It kind of it rejuvenates it. There's a whole lot of chemistry involved that's over my head.
Way over our head.
But I'm not a chemist by any means.
Nope.
But anyway, we're going to test this out, give it a shot. And again, we're looking at Tuxedo, and then we're also looking at more of a residential type application there around Jane Phillips Elementary School. So you got Rogers, Penn, and Lanham that we did, and those have been done now for about 2 years, I believe, 2-3 years, something like that.
We got something a little bit older as well, and a different street that gets entirely different usage than Tuxedo.
Different traffic, different traffic, a little bit older, and so. We're going to give that a shot, see how this goes. I'm excited to see it. We won't know immediately. It's going to be years.
It's going to take us a little while.
Years, but, I'm hoping that, really on asphalt streets, you can really see that difference between when you first lay it, get about 2 years down the road, it starts getting that gray look instead of black. And so I'm really hoping we'll see something here in the next couple of years, and I won't have to wait, 5, 6, 7 years to really see. But, so anyway, we're going to give that a shot, and council seem to be on board with it.
Yep.
And we'll look at other products as well. We'll look at other products, not just this one. But
always good that we be trying new things. We certainly need to find a better way to do things because, unfortunately, revenues aren't growing quite as fast as the demand and the cost.
Right.
So now you talked about a mill and overlay. Mm-hmm. For most people, they think that's a replacement of the entire street because they don't understand. So an asphalt street is certainly more than just what you see on the surface.
That's correct.
An asphalt street is more than just the asphalt.
It is. Really, the base is more important than the asphalt. I mean, I'd say more important. It's as important, equally important. But, yeah, you've got a layer of usually 6 to 8 inches of what we call aggregate base. It's a compacted stone mix. And really, if your subgrade and that stone, that rock base, if that's in good condition, your asphalt's going to do pretty well. So what we do on a mill and overlay is typically our asphalt streets are anywhere from 5 to 6 inches thick of asphalt with that 6 to 8 inch ag base. And so we'll go in there and basically we're just milling off the top 1 inch or 2 inches depending on what we do there. Sometimes we'll do what we call an edge mill. We'll just mill the edges about 8 feet out so that we can actually tie into those curb and gutter sections. But we're just milling that off. And so you really have...
Yep.
The rest of your pavement section is still intact, still there, and then we're just capping that with another 2 inches of asphalt and just to seal things up. And
so this is another way of resealing when we talk about mill and overlay.
Right.
So when we say that a road has to be rebuilt, if that asphalt surface starts to fail, then it also damages the base. And then a rebuild is something significantly different.
Completely different. That's when you go in and you cut everything out, you regrade it, recompact your earth underneath it, bring back in your rock and your fabric, and
That's why it is so much more expensive. And that's why it's important that we do these preventative maintenance is to protect what is essentially the surface of the road. So what we see is just you're not going to claim it because you're going to think it's stupid, but it's like an iceberg.
That was you.
Look at that, and you didn't even say it was
that
stupid.
Was you. It's not stupid at all. It's a great analogy.
So what we see on the surface is like the tip of the iceberg, but the road itself is really farther underneath that. So I just wanted to stop because I think when people see a mill and overlay, they assume that's a total reconstruction.
Right, and it's not.
It's not at all.
No, it's not.
That's barely the top of the road that we're replacing.
That's correct.
All right, I stopped you. Go ahead.
That'd be good. No, so anyway, that's the street projects that were approved. As you mentioned also, we do have Sooner Pool. We had a contract last week for the design services for the Sooner Pool recreational expansion. This project was planned as part of the 2013 sales tax extension. And again, this is 7-8 years ago we were planning this project out. We had an original budget of $3.75 million planned again. This was 8 years ago.
Right.
And we have projections for what sales tax is going to do over that 8 years. Jason and them try to do the best they can to try to project that. But again, when you project anything, it's going to be wrong.
You just don't know which
one way or another.
Way
or another, it's going to be wrong. And so unfortunately, sales tax didn't generate quite as much revenue as we expected over that period. We had always planned for this project to be in the last, this current fiscal year, the last year of that 7-year extension. And the reason we did that is it's a discretionary project. It was not one of the priority projects. Sure. And so it was a large discretionary project. We don't typically have discretionary projects quite this big.
We don't. You're right.
And so we scheduled that for that last fiscal year, this current fiscal year. And we did that just because kind of where we're at now. If the sales tax didn't produce as we think it will, then we have to work with what we've got left. And so Again, we've got $2.55 million planned for this project that was approved this budget cycle. So we went from 3.75 to 2.55. But again, that was the nature of it. That was always the original plan, if you will, is to have this in the last yep. year and see where the sales tax funds came in and to fund it as well as we could. So and we do this happens with this fund.
And unfortunately, we didn't have as much funding as we thought we would, but at the same time, given the economic uncertainty that we went through, and I know right now we're sure. focused on COVID economic crisis, but there's been others as we went through this. We faced some significant downturns. So it's unfortunate that we had to reduce the budget, but at the same time, I think we're lucky and grateful, and I think there was some really good planning that went in to preserve as much funding as there was.
Right.
So we're able to do some. We're going to do a recreational expansion at Sooner Park.
We are.
Sooner Pool. We're not sure what the scope of that's going to be or what all design elements are going to be included, but
right.
we'll certainly work through that.
Yeah, and we'll be working through that in the next couple weeks, especially really the next 30 days is when we've got our initial meeting with the consultant scheduled, I believe, for next week, towards the end of next week. It'll be a two-day site visit for them. They'll come out to get some data collection on the site. We'll look at existing plans. And get some feedback from the stakeholders yeah. as far as what's important to them, what's really truly needed and desired, as far as what's not desired. That'll be a key
yeah.
component to it as well, because the existing pool right. really isn't geared for the recreational side so much as it is a large lap pool. So
have to preserve its use as well.
That's correct.
It's a unique pool in Bartlesville.
It is. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see where we go with this thing. But everybody has high hopes that we'll.
Yeah.
We'll get a really interesting project out of this deal and plan for, you know, possible future expansion if needed as well. So
and I think that's important that we have $2.5 million to do this. If during this plan we don't necessarily have to limit ourselves to that, we can also select and design it so that future phases won't that what we do now won't interfere with the ability to have yeah. some future phases.
That's true. We'll be weighing all that stuff out as part of this process. Again, we're looking at the next 30 days or so, coming up with some conceptual plans, some options to present to others for approval, and then at that point we'll move on with the actual design and.
Yeah.
We've got the consultant on contract for the design phase as well as and also the bidding process and the construction. We did that similar to Frontier Pool. This is the same consulting firm that did Frontier Pool for
they
us.
Did a great job with that one.
And they held our hand through construction on that as well because, again, these are pretty specialized projects. It's not something we do every day.
Thankfully, we don't do them all that often.
Don't do them all that often, and so we want somebody on board that knows a lot about it when we're going to construction as well. So they've got a good team.
Yep. And I'm certainly looking forward to that, and the public will definitely hear more about it as we go.
That'll be a great project.
We'll keep everybody up to date. I think people are pretty excited about this project. Yeah. All right. What
keep
else
on trucking
going
well,
on, Mike?
So,
Micah?
You know,
Mike. I just called you Mike. Wow.
Called you Micah.
Whatever.
Mike. I'm Mike.
How you doing?
That's me, Mike. All right, sorry, we've been derailed a little bit here. Don't have a whole lot of time. We do have a number of projects under construction currently. We're still working on Price Fields Phase 3. We're looking at early November completion on that. At least that's the hope. We've got the downtown streets project still going. They should start the landscaping portion of that this week, yep. actually. Just talked with the contractor this morning. They should get rolling on that, doing some saw cutting on the sidewalks there on Frank Phillips to get that work moving. We just started Cudahy, I believe, last week's when that got going. From Santa Fe to Virginia, it's a concrete panel rehab project. And then we've got the Eastland Pathfinder extension still going. We're working there along Brookline, essentially between the dead end on Brookline and the west end of it there at the Eastland property, and Frank Phillips. They're working from Frank Phillips back west. We're working out some details on that, but got that one going. Got a library HVAC controls retrofit. Not really that exciting to anybody because you're not going to see a whole lot of it unless you're visiting the library.
That's
but it'll be good for our building maintenance guys.
Right.
They're excited about it. And then we should be wrapping up Veterans Park here pretty quick. End of October, likely we'll see completion on that. A new park playground equipment there at the Frontier Pool, essentially. So
cool little themed playground.
So. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And Tom, thank you for hosting us as always.
Thank you.